Will you pray with me? May the word, God, that is spoken, the word that is heard, be true to you and your leading. May it take root in our hearts. May it be rooted in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're traveling again through the stories of Jesus in the book of Luke, and we have some sayings that we just heard, some of which may be familiar, some of which may be new to you today. Remember that quote, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself"? I was looking that up again and reminded of that this week, with so much to be worried and afraid about in the news. And it was a quote, of course, from Franklin Roosevelt, spoken at his first inaugural address in 1933. If you remember some of what was going on in the world after that time, much that related to years ahead in terms of what it means. So as I have heard and listened to the news this week, my heart has been filled with fear and worry. I don't know about you. There's been a lot going on, hasn't there? And I opened my Bible this week in preparation for our time together this morning, and there were two phrases in there that they weren't highlighted like that in my Bible, but I highlighted them for you because they jumped out at me. Don't worry. And then just a little bit later, don't be afraid. Fear, of course, can teach us to be safe, right? I grew up going camping and hiking with my parents, and my dad was always trying to instruct me about how to look for snakes on the trail. We were hiking the Appalachian Trail, and there were poisonous snakes around. I think we all only saw one once on that particular trail, but it instilled in me a great respect for snakes and probably a bit of an irrational fear as well, as it's very unlikely that you'd actually die from a snake bite. One of the more lighthearted stories in the news this week, maybe you saw it, was a story of a 14-year-old girl whose mom was taking her back to school picture. And the girl is standing right next to a tree, just inches from this tree. And at first glance at the picture, you don't notice that there's something sliding down the tree just a few inches from this girl's body. And then as you look, it kind of comes into focus, and it's a snake. Upside down, tail up in the air, and the head sort of reared right around the girl's midsection. ABC News reported the reaction of the girl's mother, who was taking the picture, as all of us parents like to do in those back-to-school moments. And the mother said, "Lord, it was scary. I got two pictures. And I said to her, 'Show your teeth, smile.' And then," she said, "I saw the snake. And I said to my daughter, 'Brooke, come here.'" And the daughter was like, "You know, we're still taking pictures, right?" And she didn't move. And then she said, "Brooke, get away from the tree now." And she said it calmly, but my face said it all. And thank goodness no one was hurt, the snake included. And the only pose the snake wanted to strike that day was a pose in a back-to-school picture. Can you imagine that? I'm getting the heebie-jeebies just thinking about snakes. Fear can have its hold on us. It's not a wonder that Jesus speaks to us about it. And all of these events in El Paso and Dayton over this past week and other things we're hearing on the news and the conversation point to a deeper fear within many of us, a worry about our nation and our world, a fear maybe for our own personal safety. We have kids going back to school. Anxiety about the direction of our nation, and at times, for some of you perhaps, sort of an overwhelming sense of dread. We have our own individual problems, and then on top of that, everything out in the world today. More than ever, we may wonder if there's an end, any end to the hate we see expressed, or we wonder if there's any end to this divide and divisiveness we feel in our nation today, and more than ever, we may wonder, what are we to do as people of faith, as Christians? What should our role be? Last fall, I was having one of those driveway moments in the car, you know, the kind when you're listening to a great story on the radio or a song and you pull into the driveway and you just want to stay there until it ends. And it was a story about some of that fear and hate and division in our country today. It's a story that right after the 2016 presidential election, conflict resolution expert Paula Green and a group of quote-unquote liberal voters in Massachusetts met in their little town's library to discuss how they might move forward as a community and in a divided country. And she said, we didn't know where we would reach out or who we would reach out to, but we felt it was very important to reach out somehow, some way, because those divides, and you all know this, right? Divides in families, divides in nations, whatever it be, they become chasms. And before long, we can't talk to each other at now. Happens in churches too, right? So the group became known as Hands Across the Hill, and it was Green's brainchild. And it wound up reaching down to a coal mining town in Whitesburg, Kentucky, Letcher County, Kentucky, nearly 850 miles away from their town in Massachusetts. There was a lot of fear going into these conversations. Gwen Johnson, a resident in Whitesburg, Kentucky, said, I was a little apprehensive. I was worried it might be another Save the Dumb Hillbillies project. Maybe if some of you have connections with areas in Appalachia, you know how that stereotype is there. And Johnson said she was worried that we would not be heard and then not accepted. And listen to this. She said, the thing I kept worrying about was that they wouldn't be able to forgive us for voting for President Trump. And she said, despite her fears and trepidation, she knew that the conversation needed to be had. And Paula Green, the woman from Massachusetts, said, we spent 6 months preparing for this meeting, and we talked about how we might do some drama exercises to help people connect, and there were Skypes and phone calls and music and dance and art, and so we had this rich and full and safe way for people to interact, but we knew how much fear there was. How much fear there was, even with all that. In Kentucky, the people in Letcher County, where Whitesburg is located, they voted almost exactly the same percentage for Trump as the people in Leverett, Massachusetts, voted for Hillary. A microcosm of our country. But in the conversations that I've been listening to this week, I reflected back on what I heard in this conversation, and it has stuck with me. One question that was asked of the group, and here they are sitting in a circle together, and one question that was asked of the group as they sought to come together and to be released from some of those fears about talking with people who were different from them, one question that was asked of them had to do with the conversation around guns that's happening in our country today. And they asked the group, what helps you feel safe? What helps you feel safe? And the people in Massachusetts said, when nobody has guns. And the people in Kentucky said, when everybody has guns. Friends, I don't know what to do about that cultural divide in our country right now. I mean, I have my own ideas about what could happen. But I think part of what we need to do is have conversations around such a divisive issue, especially in the aftermath of so much violence and hate this week, right? Everything we do, whether it be as a church community or to talk about our role as Christians in our society, everything we do and everything we hold to be true matters to God, whether we live in Massachusetts or Kentucky or right here in Mount Prospect, Elk Grove, Des Plaines, Arlington Heights, up north, wherever it may be. I don't know what to do about some of those divides, but here are some things I do know. There are some good reasons to be afraid these days. Some of you are dealing with some things in your own lives that I know are creating anxiety and fear, and you need to hear those words from Jesus. Do not worry. Cast your cares upon God. Do not be afraid. I am with you. When you walk through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. When you pass through the fire, I will not let it burn you. But here's the thing. Here's what we are called to as Christians. We must never let fear turn into hate. Fear of the other, which inspires hate. We saw that firsthand, didn't we, in the El Paso shootings? You can blame whoever you want to, but as Christians, we can't be silent in the face of that hate. Hate crimes, anything that would fan those flames of terror and violence. Whether you bleed blue or red politically, and I know we've got it all right here, or purple, some of you are purple maybe, or somewhere in between, the soul of our nation is dependent on us as Christians and other people of faith to be people of love and peace, but also to be people of courage, people who are on the lookout for the most vulnerable among us. The book of Proverbs says, speak up on behalf of the voiceless, those whose voices we don't hear all the time, and for the rights of those who are vulnerable. You know, when we have new members join here at Trinity, and when we baptize a baby, I'm looking at one right here who was just baptized. Yeah, hold that baby up. Laura was just baptized pretty recently, back in June. We ask the parents on behalf of the child, and we affirm as people who've already taken these vows of membership. This is the second question in the membership vows. Do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? These are the spiritual forces at work in our world. And our response is, I do. I want to say that for some of you here today, the response to this question will be that you go home today and you email your senators and you are very serious about working on gun control, and you will do this out of your Christian beliefs. For others of you here today who may not be called to do that, you may feel that this is the time to invest more wisely in this congregation where we are shaping and forming young people. I see you out there, 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 20-year-olds who can lead us to that next step in our nation and who are at a very vulnerable time in their life. Amen? Where they need us, and they need us to help point the way and to shape them and to offer them the kind of community that informs them on the path of faith. For others of you, you may want to invest in the life of this congregation because you look around and you see that right here we have an opportunity to learn from one another, to hear the truth from our folks who come from different parts of the world. All of us were immigrants once, right? Maybe not every single person, but I think most of us in this room. To learn from folks who have different kinds of economic backgrounds. My life has been so enriched by being a part of churches with people who are different from me. To learn from people who have been raised in churches that are different from me, who have different understandings of the Bible. To learn from those who went to college and have graduate degrees and those who perhaps did not finish high school. We have folks right here in this room whose families live across the globe, folks who are trying to get work visas, folks who are working on immigration issues. We have folks struggling to get visas extended. We have a richness here, don't we? Where we can learn from one another and be an example to the rest of the world. I am in awe of this, particularly when I look at some of the pictures of our youth. I have a beautiful view right now of looking at all of you, actually. But when I look at some of the pictures of our youth and I know some of the stories behind these beautiful people and their families, it is a privilege to me to be walking the road of Jesus with some of these people right here. Still others of you, as you think about what to do in a time of fear and what Jesus is saying to us, you want to think more deeply about how you respond, maybe just in everyday conversations in this time of fear and anxiety, to a joke that's made that maybe you used to think was funny, but now you realize is actually racist or some sort of off-color religious joke that can come up easily in everyday conversation. We all experience that at one time or another, and we need to stand against the fear and the anxiety and the hate right from where that comes. It only takes a spark. One of the things we've been doing, I'm so excited that we have about 12 to 15 folks in our Sunday morning and Thursday morning disciple classes for the next 6 weeks. And we've been talking about what it means to follow Jesus. What's the definition of a disciple? And it's really all about the love. It's what we believe, our love of God, our love of others, and it's how we act on that in the world. And the goal is to change the world, to transform our own souls, but also to change the world. And we know from Scripture, we hear time and time again, perfect love casts out fear. Mature, Christian, following Jesus kind of love cast out all fear. As you've heard me say before, I would never, ever say to you, and I do not believe in a God who would bring us suffering or fear or worry or anxiety of any kind in our personal lives or in the world around us in order to teach us a lesson. But I do believe that God can and will use these times that we're in, whatever's going on in our own lives, our worry, our fear, to challenge us and nudge us towards becoming the people we are called to be, people of love and belief and action, people who love God and love others. The promise in this passage, after all, is sure. When we seek after God's kingdom, when we seek the good of the world, the good in the hearts of people, when we release our worry and our fear, God delights to give us the kingdom, a slice of heaven on earth. And the promise is sure that if we do seek God's kingdom, then faith will indeed triumph over fear. Love will triumph over hate. Community and the bonds of the Spirit will triumph over any divide that separates us from one another, and peace will overcome our worry. Sometimes there are weeks when the world seems to be falling apart, and at least out there, that seems to be true, and maybe for some of you in here as well. So more than ever, we need one another, and we need God to keep us true, to keep us courageous, and to keep us grounded in all that is good and right and loving. One of my favorite verses comes from Psalm 46, so just hear these words as I close. God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world falls apart, when the mountains crumble into the center of the sea. We will not fear. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. Don't worry, he reminds us. Instead, replace the fear with faith. Replace the hate with love. May it be so for you and for me and for all God's children. Amen. We're going to close with a song, and it's a prayer. It's a reminder to seek God's kingdom first. To ask, and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Will you sing it with me?